Now, Mrs. Ward, I understand you have taught for over 50 years.
I taught 50 years and I substituted for 5.
Well, will you give us your full name?
Esther Haney Ward.
You want to give us your birth date or not?
April the 15th, 1900.
And
state income tax day.
And when were you, and where were you?
Chesaning Township.
Now, tell us a little bit about your early life.
Oh, I had lots of fun. I went to a rural school, and I died in the wool as far as the country schools are concerned. I wish I could go back and teach one more year in a good old country school. We had lots of fun. Big classes, one-room school. The summer recess was fun during school time. We had 3 of the most wonderful teachers, and I think many people in Chesaning know the 2 of them. Kate Mahoney was my first teacher, but Mrs. Ellen Carson and Alice Getson were 2 of the other grandest teachers that ever taught in this locality. I went to school first with Kate Mahoney. There were 35 or 40 pupils there at that time. She was very, very strict and very thorough. But you got places. If we go on, we have about 32 or 33 classes a day. So you see they were short. When we got behind, the older people stepped in and helped her. And I think perhaps that was where I got my start with Mrs. Carson, because I often took over the younger children and helped them.
Tell us about some of the things you did for recreation during school.
Oh, I'm telling you. We had exciting times when we had our spelling bees and our arithmetic matches. In the wintertime, my dad often took a sleigh load to another school. And when we heard the sleigh bells and heard the kids yelling, we would hurry and get things in place, and we always had a spell down. And oftentimes, as I said before, the arithmetic matches. And that was a big day. Sometimes we just took our sleigh rides, or say downtown. And then at noon, some recesses. In the wintertime, we always went down to the creek to skate. We wanted an hour and a half of noon, so we gave up our recesses. Because in those days, we had to put in all of our time to get our classes in. We were regimented to that. And during warmer weather, some of the things that we played were toss over the woodshed, toss the ball over the woodshed. Another game was going to Philadelphia, and London Bridge is falling down. Pom-pom pull away, and I can't remember what the others were, but we had a lot of simple games, and just noticed we had nothing to play with, only a ball.
This school went through the 8th grade?
Yes.
Which school was this?
Mollytown, out on Sharon Road.
And then where did you go?
Down to high school. And I want you to know, I didn't have a bus to ride. Sometimes, I went with a horse and buggy. I always had a good driving horse. And in the wintertime, I had a horse and cutter with sleigh bells, which was equal to a Cadillac in those days. And the boys and girls sure envied me because I had such a good driving horse.
Then you drove every day?
Every day, and put my horse in the livery barn. Mm-hmm. And I carried my fork full of hay in the back of the buggy.
Okay. In your own lunch, I suppose.
I suppose I did have my own lunch because I can't remember anything else about it.
Yes, I think most people
do. Yeah, I think so.
Tell us a little bit about your high school, if you wish.
I didn't enjoy that so much. I really didn't. Because I lived so far out in the country, 3.5 miles, and we went with a horse and buggy.
Now, about how long did that take you
one way? Well, I was a fast walker, but I don't remember just how long.
Well, with the horse?
With the horse? I don't remember, probably a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I could walk nearly as fast.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said you didn't enjoy high school as much.
No.
Because you lived out in the country.
Yes. I couldn't get in to the festivities that they had, the ball games and all that sort of thing. Although when it came time for the J-hop and the senior play and those things, I took part in, or their special banquets. But I couldn't go to all the things like the others did. They were, by the way, we started out with a big class in the 9th grade of about 39, I think. And the graduating class was 6 girls, 5 living now.
Only girls?
Just girls graduated. And my class was the first class to graduate in the middle school, what is now known as middle school.
Then where did you go? How did you get into teaching? Tell us about that.
Oh, that's rare. I went to Ypsilanti for 6 weeks, took my state exams, and went back to teaching where I had gone to school for 9 years. And I taught there 1 year, then taught 2 years at the Ziegler School. And then I went down to Indiantown School in Buena Vista Township, where I spent 2 very delightful years.
Now, tell me, Mrs. Ward, did this 6 weeks at Ypsilanti and this one examination that you took qualify you for all those years of teaching?
Or for 3 years.
For 3 years.
But then I had to earn so many credits. I've forgotten how many, I think it was 6 hours in the next 3 years. And I think I took the state examination, if I remember correctly, twice. And then I quit for 1 year and went to County Normal, which was located in the middle school in Chesney. Then, from then on, I went to school nights and summers to get my degree.
Well, once you'd gone to County Normal, you didn't have to take any more exams, did you?
No. I just had to get so many hours of credit and keep right on working. But no more. But that was a long haul to get your degree.
When did you get your degree, approximately?
About 1954.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you had, well...
Just going nights.
You couldn't go, there weren't any community colleges then,
no.
Were there?
And I had to earn my own way. And I put my daughter through school.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us some interesting things about when you began teaching. Let's think about when you first began teaching, and then let's kind of work up into the way it is at the present.
Well, we still had big attendance. Short class periods in 1919 is when I started. The children were really cooperative. Maybe it was because they had to be. The parents were right behind me. We had parental control at that time. And another thing we had was a rubber hose.
What did you do with that?
Ha!
Well, you better tell us. It sounds terrible.
Well, I had one colored boy stole it from me once.
You mean you gave him a little swat with it?
Yes, I didn't kill him with it, but I just... sometimes all you had to do was hold it up and that was enough. They really dreaded that because, well, it wouldn't leave marks.
But it hurt.
It hurt like the dickens.
How many years did you teach in rural school?
34.
And then how did you happen to come into town school?
Mr. Dietzel came out. Did that come out right? 16,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mr. Dietzel came out to school. That's when they were consolidating. And asked if I wouldn't come in. And I debated for about 3 weeks if I would give up the rural work because I loved it. I liked the idea of all these Christmas programs that we used to have in our box socials and spelling bees and all the different things we had and the cooperation that we got from the older children helping. And we, at the last, we were preparing food for their lunches right on top of a furnace.
Tell us how that came about.
The hot lunch?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how we happened to have our first, but I guess it was because some children didn't have too much. They come to school without breakfast, and sometimes we prepared breakfast for them.
Where did this food come from?
Most of it came from the homes, but some from welfare.
What did you cook?
Soup. Soup and more soup. Different kinds.
And you just cooked it on top of your furnace?
On top of the furnace. That was very, very dangerous because Mrs. Price, one of our well-known teachers near here, especially in Indiantown, upset the kettle of soup right down the front of her.
Well, how come you didn't have a little stove to cook on?
We did later, after the accident started happening.
Oh.
But we just didn't have it.
How did you manage to prepare this food and teach school at the same time?
The kids took care of it.
Of the food?
Yes. The kids did it,
mm-hmm.
willingly. We had committees.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one thing I want to go back to.
All right.
And that was at Christmas. How dangerous it was, as I look at it now. We had real candles burning on the Christmas tree. We had lamps and lanterns to light the room. And I tell you, we took everything from my home to put out. My dad used to say, "Are we going to have anything left in the house?" But it was dangerous.
Well, what did you take from your home?
Bed sheets, all kinds of wearing apparel to dress up in.
This is for your program?
Yes.
And the bed sheets were for the curtains?
So that was fun. I found my work in the Lime Street Elementary School very enjoyable, and I spent 16 happy years there. First 8 years either in the 5th or 6th grade wherever I was needed, and the last 8 years in the 1st grade. Really, I found the 1st grade the hardest. I do enjoy the 5th and 6th about the best. You can see where they have accomplished quite a bit of work and can go on their own, while the little folks need so much individual attention.
Well, did they have any programs in the elementary school?
Some of the teachers did, but I didn't.
You didn't put on programs?
I didn't put on programs. I thought it was more difficult, I guess, there than I did in the rural. Of course, I was brought up on programs in the rural school.
How did your work differ?
Well, I had one grade. I had good-sized classes, but it was one grade. But of course, you had to divide your grades according to their ability. For music, Mr. Newman and I used to work together because his room was right next to mine in 54. And he was very good at it. We could have June, and I don't know, we settled down quite thoroughly to our regular school work.
You mean academic work?
Yes, academic work is right. But it was enjoyable, and the youngsters, although we had difficulties once in a while, nothing too serious. And they could cooperate very well. We used to do quite a bit in art. And one Christmas time, I bought 100 pounds of plaster pillows, and we made pins and pictures and everything imaginable that you can make with that gooey stuff.
You really think the rural school could come back today and operate efficiently?
No, I don't. I don't think that the teachers would put up with it.
Well, leaving the teachers out of it, do you think that the rural school could be made to operate efficiently?
I do, if they shut their minds to it. Of course, not very many people agreed with me. I know that.
I'm not asking you who agrees with you. I'm just asking what you think.
Well, that's just exactly the way I feel about it. If they made up their mind to, went into it wholeheartedly, they could. It would cost too much money. That would be the main thing. It costs too much money.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't you think that's the reason why they were disbanded?
Mostly. Not entirely, no. I know you said mostly, but I think they worked awfully hard to get these big consolidated schools. Not many people agree with me and my feelings.
They don't have to agree with you. This is your idea. This is your idea. They don't have to agree with you.
Well, I'm happy about that.
No, but you think that consolidation was kind of a thing that was going on, and so everybody kind of got on the bandwagon. Is that the way you feel?
In one way, yes.
Well, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Tell me how you do feel. What do you feel about it?
Well, you have one bad apple in the basket. You know what happens to a whole bushel.
But where is this bad apple? What are you trying to say? What is the bad apple?
Those that are continually disrupting.
Are you speaking of the children?
Yes. I'm speaking of the children. Those that get together and lead others. Of course, that can happen in any situation.
Well, and are you trying to say this? Now, if you want, we'll release this. But are you trying to say that the teacher would have a better control and be able to handle this bad apple better if
yes,
there wouldn't be so many.
That's right.
In that one school.
That's right. Again, not too many people agree with me, but that's my own thoughts.
Well, it's a very good thought. You know, I don't think people have to agree with each other all the time. You know, you may find out you're right.
Well, we're trying out some of these new ways in California right now, going back.
Mm-hmm.
And in one way, within our own system. And I understand in Saginaw Township, it's the same thing. Having a grade in one part of a building. Now, in Saginaw Township, the fifth grade is in one part of the school, and they're separate from the rest. And down here, the sixth grade in the new middle school will be in one part of the building. They're allotted to that part. And the seventh and eighth grade in another part. And I really think that's an improvement.
Well, I think so too.
They won't be so subjected to this misbehavior as much. And we've all got to face it. I don't care if it was in the rural schools, in the village, the large cities. Of course, the large cities have more of it. But I think that we have our discipline problems, no matter where we are. And one thing that really worries me is the lack of parental guidance. That I can see more than anything else in the downfall of our schools.
Well, this has certainly been an interesting interview, and I'm happy you let us have it.
I only hope that it's satisfactory.
Of course it is.
I can talk.
You can talk more if you want to.
No. I could talk by the hour about my experiences in the rural schools. The one thing, although I made many friends teaching in the consolidated school, I find that when we had the children for more than 1 year and really got acquainted with them, you gain lasting friendship, which means a lot. I have people who will drive 100 miles to come down and have lunch with me that I had their children in school.
Well, how much money did you make a year when you taught?
I started in at $65 a month, and that was high.
About what year would that be?
1919.
And then, what was the next, how much did you raise did you get the next year?
I went to another school, and at 95, and the third year, 100. Then I went down to Buena Vista and I got 125 the first year. It was a bigger school. I had 83 in the spring and fall, and I had 65 all winter. And the next year I was there, I got $150. And then I moved to Battle Creek. And I think I have a smaller school, and I believe it was $100 a month when I went there. And from then on, it went down because it was depression times.
What was the smallest amount you ever made?
65.
You never went below that.
No, and during depression times I made 75. But I was fortunate. They told me, the school board told me that I couldn't live on less than that. So I felt that I was really fortunate. They came and underbid me to 50, and yet they kept me.
Other teachers underbid you.
Yeah.
That was quite common in those days, wasn't it?
You bet your sweet life, and I was making as much as a college professor.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt quite proud.
Well, I mean this underbidding.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, that's one thing they don't have now, but I suppose it's possible at any time if we have bad
economic
situation. Well, I think 75 was very good during the Depression.
Oh, I think it was wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Some people were even teaching at $40 a month then.
Yeah.
I know.
Mm-hmm.